Within the realms of reality and reason, where life is limited only by the rules that keep the world both spinning and yet still in its celestial cradle, order and normality rule. Fantasy is hindered by stern words and the self-imposed walls of those who fail to nurture the seed of the fantastic in their hearts. Blind to all that is not grey, the magic of imagination spins and twirls unseen before their eyes. But things are not so in this place. Not here, not in this moment, nor in the many more to come. Within twisted thicket and winding roots, ankle-high greenery and blooming flowers of red and blue and white, magic dances on gentle feet and hums a merry tune. Beauty glides gracefully through wild undergrowth with a familiarity that binds her to this place. Splendor plucks flowers from the ground and slips them behind her ears. All are alive. All are as real can be in this place. And all exist within the elegant body of a young girl with bright, wandering eyes. Her dress, a ragged and flowing garment of glimmering silver which captures the sunlight and shines with it, leaves a shimmering trail of diamond fireflies in her wake, shimmering bright before fading like stars into the morning. Her eyes, a mossy green, peer through a curtain of fair hair with all the wonder of a newborn, and with each glancing touch against a flower stem or tree branch, life breathes anew within her kingdom. She cares for her subjects just as the sun above and the earth below do, and betwixt the three, life continues unhindered and wild, as it should. Be the ground covered in a snowy blanket of white, or glazed in the golden light of long summers, you will find her here, perched upon a fallen stump, playing with her hair, dozing upon an overhead branch in the soothing glow of the sun, or dipping toes into the streams and rivers that crisscross her forest, you will find her here, for here is precisely where she belongs. But more lies in her wake than footsteps and fairy dust, more than the slowly drifting sun that warms her back and the thickening trees that guard her from the wind. Mischief traces her footsteps with careful feet and held breath. Trouble peers around tree trunks with eyes wide in both adoration and curiosity. Clumsiness trips carelessly, falling into a bush with a gasp. A bundle of limbs topped with a mess of tousled brown hair through which a pair of eyes peek warily blows a brown leaf from his lips and coughs. He mutters angrily about his own clumsiness and brushes his clothes off with sharp slaps that do little to improve his mood. He stands hurriedly, suddenly recalling his purpose and, not wishing to lose his quarry, turns to the direction he was only moments ago facing, only to find himself face to face with the very girl he was following. Her head tilted playfully to the side, she regards him as she regards all new things, with a pleasant mixture of curiosity and bewilderment. His mouth falls open to form a small O shape, and in response she simply blinks, to him each one seemingly as loud as the beating of an eagle's wings. "Hello," she eventually says, breaking the silence like shattering glass. He replies, his mind failing in the face of someone so curiously beautiful. Of course, he knew she was thus, but the mind of one so young is so often educated in the ways of attraction, his mind simply errs on the side of caution and robs him of words which he would decide in retrospect was a rather cruel thing of it to do. "Who are you?" she says, evidently unhindered by his lack of a coherent reply. Her hands move to her hair and she plays with a loose lock that falls over her shoulder before straightening her head and continuing to regard him with the cool look that, if anything, made his anxiety regarding the whole situation much, much worse. I Were you following me? The words seem to poke him in the eyes, and he near recoils at the accusation that, while true, didn't as much continue to rob him of his speech as it did reach into his mouth and steal the very air he had, up until this moment, been happily breathing. No, I mean, I wasn't... Why? He stumbles, trying desperately to remember where his arms usually hang during less than normal conversation. People often try to catch fairies, she mutters casually in response, blinking rapidly as if expecting some admission of guilt on his part, as if the shuffling feet and blushing cheeks weren't quite proof enough for her inquisition. You're... a what? He says, regaining some manner of composure. A fairy, see? At that, she twists her body, peering over her shoulder while pointing at her back and smiling a smile he would, for the rest of his life, recall with perfect clarity. Wings. I don't see any wings, he replies matter-of-factly, to which she rolls her eyes and sighs, turning again to face him as if expecting him to continue. He looks back, ceasing his feet's incessant shuffling and regarding her equally, attempting, if anything, to break the almost uncomfortably intense stare he has since affixed on her face. Tag, she says, reaching across with an arm and poking him in the forehead. Ow. What? He says, surprised, peering up at the finger that extends beyond his craning eyes. You have to chase me now, she replies, in an aggravatingly matter-of-fact tone. Why? It's the rules. You have to. And I say so. What if I don't want to? How will you catch me if you don't? She says with a wink, and as his mouth begins to form a response, she spins on the ball of one foot and is lost within the trees. A lone, empty syllable falls from his lips, and with a sigh, he breaks off into a sprint and follows in pursuit for reasons that, while as blatant as a kick to the head in later years, in this moment are beyond him. Darting around trees, forcing his way through bushes that threaten to ensnare or, at the worst, steal his shoes, he follows, his only clues to her path being the gentle swing of disturbed branches or the crackle of fallen leaves. With every wide tree branch he circles, it seems she is perpetually one step ahead, and only through the driving motivation within him does he continue his chase, his ragged breath distant and insignificant in light of the game. Minutes pass as long as lifetimes, and still he runs, clumsy feet becoming almost expert in their navigation of the forest, as if inspired by the mysterious girl who seems immune to the snagging vines and twisted branches that were, not minutes before, causing him the greatest of troubles. Only an undefinable, inescapable, and damn well unreasonable need to find those eyes again keeps the feet that hold him aloft moving fleet and perpetually forward. The only empirical clue to her continual presence being the occasional laughter that filters through the trees and finds him. He rounds a cluster of trees, and there, without a doubt, the ragged tail of her dress slipping between two bushes in our view. Spurred on by impending victory, he barrels through the bushes and comes face to face with the girl, and time slows down. Her hands are clasped behind her back, her lips painting her face with a wry smile that he has scant moments to regard. Momentum, and possibly a force unseen and unopposable, carries him forward, and before one might contemplate the choice of turning back, their lips touch. He opens his eyes as if for the first time, and much to his delight and surprise, she is both real and still very much present. He absent-mindedly reaches a hand up to his lips and touches them, still feeling her there, his mind chaotic and unraveled, trying desperately to provide some mental proof that such a thing just happened. Hello, she says. Hello, he he replies, his entire body trembling. "You're supposed to tag me back," she says, her smile widening at one side. "Oh, like this?" she says, and reaches forward to grab his wrist, pulling his hand to her head and forcing him to poke her. In this moment, all thoughts of victory, of the chase, of winning, fade to nothing, and in his mind there is only her touch, her warmth, and her proximity that catch and imprison his attention. "Tag," he says, as if the word formed independently in his head, and she smiles in response, allowing his hand to fall but not before catching it in hers and entwining her fingers with his. "Come on, let's go," she says with another wink, and before clumsy words of adoration and love might have dared to fall from his lips, his subconscious chooses to focus instead on the task of not falling from the sudden momentum of her pull. And off they go, her leading him on a path that seems as wild and chaotic as her, hopping over roots and dipping her head under low-hanging branches. Her movements are as much a dance as anything, and he simply follows, his eyes drinking in every movement while doing his best to emulate, not wishing to disturb her by falling over, and more importantly, not wishing to do anything that might cause his hand to fall from hers and rob him of her touch. Eventually she comes to a stop, and much to his dismay, releases his hand. She turns to him and smiles. "Wait here." And before he can beg for her to stay, she darts through the leaf curtain of a small tree and disappears from view. In the seconds that follow, excitement and wonder threaten to turn to fear and loneliness, as he begins to wonder how deep within the forest he has come, and if he might ever find his way back. He begins to fear she might not come back, and thus he despairs, for reasons still unknown to him, that he might never see her again. That is, until she calls to him, and lover's feet carry him through the curtain of green into a sight that will, for the rest of his life, be one of incomparable splendor. Silhouetted against the setting sun as if ringed with gold, she stands overlooking a sea of treetops, dotted with the casual swoop of distant birds. She peers over her shoulder, her eyes sparkling as they reflect the evening sun, her hair flowing majestically in an unhindered breeze. It is not these things that capture his attention, though, nor his imagination, for both are quite busy. It is the two hanging branches that fall towards her from the trees that flank her on either side. Two branches, dangling smaller twigs that hold stoic and resolute leaves that reach down to her shoulders and hang still, but certainly not lifeless. In this moment, in this place, within a mind both unlocked and no longer overlooked, he sees no branches, nor does he see leaves. He sees, as clear as the figure before him, a pair of wings. She smiles at his amazement and beckons him closer, and he obeys, feet soundless upon the soft grass underfoot. He comes to stand beside her, and his heart lifts and glows as her fingers find his again, and they interlock, gentle and yet permanent in their unspoken promise. And together they admire the view, silent, warm, and content in each other's company. As night falls and brings the promise of both darkness and starlight, the two exit the tree line that marks the forest's end, and find themselves staring out at a world that had, until now, not existed. With some effort, he hides the pained look that threatens to paint his face as her fingers fall from his, leaving only the phantom fire of her touch in its slow exit. He turns to look at her, noticing slowly how the ragged silver dress of a fairy has been replaced with a muddy, torn school uniform, naked feet now shielded by scuffed leather shoes. "Are you going home?" he asks, his voice trembling in fear of an answer that bears no consideration. She giggles and covers her mouth, moving a strand of hair from her eyes. "I am home. I'm just going somewhere else. Will you perhaps be here tomorrow? He asks, seeking the knowledge that right now is the very foundation of a world he fears might fall before it is fully realized. Again, she laughs, before nodding quickly. Of course, this is my home. And at that she skips away from him, leaving naught in her wake but longing and need and a familiar tune. It can be yours too, she adds with a cry, before turning a corner and exiting his life. For now. I do, he whispers and smiles innocently, his mind suddenly calm and clear and full of only her. And so it would be, day in, day out. Within the walls of their forest they became the characters that would create a story. A story within a realm built only on the limits they themselves chose to impose. For within the realm of the dreams of the young, gods and kings and men alike submit willingly to the unstoppable rule of wonder.